I do appreciate it. I'm glad our brother shared his testimony. If you turn to Genesis chapter 28, that's where we'll be today. As I was looking at the life of Jacob, because that's who we're looking at, I saw a lot of myself and others in him, meaning I was raised in a Christian home. I might have told you that last time. Solid Christian family, solid home. Got to go to Christian college, things like that. I think one of the biggest challenges, and it's a blessing, don't get me wrong, it's a blessing to be in that type of environment, but one of the biggest challenges for a Christian raised in such a good atmosphere is to see their need for a Savior. We've been told our whole lives that, yes, we're sinners, and we understand that at an early age, and we understand that sin is bad. But somewhere along the lines, too, at least for me, if I was honest with myself, there was always that thought creeping into my head of, I understand, but I don't see the need like others do to have my Savior. And I'm just sharing my heart with you in the first 3 minutes. Don't get that wrong, you know, bad impression of me already. The Lord is changing me. I just like to be honest that it's hard sometimes. And the reason I say all this is I think Jacob was in the same spot of what we're looking at today. It was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I don't know if he knew he was the God of Jacob. He had a good background, and his family was a little dysfunctional, but he was told the things from day one. And yet we're going to find here in chapter 28, I think he's kind of like where the rubber meets the road, and he's going to see what his faith is all about. So if we'll start reading in verse 10, a familiar passage maybe to some of us. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of that place and put it in his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put in his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me I will surely give a tenth to you. Let's look to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for the stories of the patriarchs, and yet, Lord, we thank you for the stories that you are doing in our own lives, how you are always in the business of changing lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have never grown weary in doing so, but that your desire would be that every human that has ever been born would come to a saving knowledge of you, and that they would become like you one day. In your name, amen. So we have the old story of the ladder going up to heaven. And you know, it's interesting, the background here, Jacob is basically on the run. If we forget, he has truly lived up to his name. In fact, Esau actually said it. He stole the birthright and he stole the blessing. His name means supplanter, one who comes in and kind of takes what's not theirs. It's kind of like, you know, we hear nowadays the mom and pop store. I had a friend growing up who was called Campbell's Hardware. Loved it. It was a little outdoor sporting goods store. But as soon as Walmart came, well, the store pretty much had to close because they couldn't compete. And I don't know if you love Walmart or hate it. You know, it depends on what stage of life you're probably in. But, you know, I thought that was a good example of what a supplanter is. It's someone that comes in and takes someone's position. And that's happened. And so Jacob is living up to his name. But here's the problem is now that he stole the blessing, Esau's had enough, and Esau's going to kill him. And he's basically waiting for his father Isaac to die. Mom gets wind of it, which mom, again, is not the role model of a mother. If you're ever looking to be a mother, I would not follow her example. But she's telling now Jacob, saying, listen, you got to get out of here. He's going to kill you. So Jacob is traveling pretty far. He's traveling far away from his home. Goes to sleep on a rock, and then we get this beautiful vision of him with a ladder going up to heaven. If you look, it says where the ladder was. You know, it says the ladder was set up in verse 12 on the earth. You know, that's interesting and it's telling. The ladder is a picture of Christ, correct? He's the gateway. He's the door. He's the ladder up to heaven. So we might go to heaven. Some of us have been told this, but it's interesting that the ladder is set up on earth. It's not like the ladder was set up in heaven coming down to the earth. It's on earth going up to heaven. You know, one of our biggest problems in our Christian lives is we want this place down here to be fixed. And what God is saying is heaven is already perfect. I want to bring you from here up there. And we read the verses like, set your mind on things above. I dwell with those in a contrite heart. I bring them up to me. He sat us in the heavenly places. Guys, we're never supposed to hang out down here and have everything okay. It's not supposed to be like that down here. It's always the vision of going up to be with our Father. We're just journeymen down here. If I find in my own life, a lot of times I complain or I'm upset with God. I said, I want this place that you've already said is doomed for destruction, this place that Satan has some power, I want you to fix this down here. And the whole time God is saying, listen, I know what heaven's like. I live here. Trust me, you want to come up here. You don't want to stay down there. Trust me. And so the ladder goes from earth up and his angels coming and bringing messages from God and going back up to God. Jacob is sitting here, he wakes up and he goes, oh, and we have this beautiful verse in which we'll talk today, verse 15. There's four things we learn from God in this verse for me. Four things. We will learn about the presence of God, the protection of God, the placement of God, and the promise of God. And I'd like to say it's almost like a rite of passage. In other words, this statement from God the Father to me, if it will help us practically, is an idea of Jacob, all alone, now has to make decisions about where his life's going. Now is met face to face with his God. And now he has to make decisions. And he's hearing the words from God the Father. Like I said, you know, it was very hard for me growing up to really see my need. But you know what? When you get married and you're on your own, suddenly you can easily see your need for a Savior. Suddenly you can easily see, oh yeah, I can't do this life. And you want me to obey, and I know who I am. I know, Lord, I need you. I need you very bad. And so let's look at the first thing it says, behold, I am with you. Talking about the presence of God. Talking about the presence of God. Why is this so important? Why does God say, listen, Jacob, hey, I'm with you. Doesn't Jacob know that? Jacob has the stories. His dad was put on an altar. You don't think they talked about that? That had to have been talked about around the dinner table. Yes, Dad, I remember the time when Grandpa almost killed you. That's a story around that house. And so he has heard of Jehovah his whole life. But now he's in a situation where he has stolen a birthright. He's stolen a blessing. His brother wants to kill him. He's off on his own. No family around. And Jehovah, this God that he knows, wants to say, listen, I'm with you. I'm still with you. I don't know if you struggle with the fact that when I sin or when I mess up completely, God, are you still with me? How can you still stay around when I mess up this bad? Go be with those mature believers that never seem to mess up, even though they do. That have such a good relationship with you. Why does it seem like when I sin, Lord, you can't still be here, can you? Jehovah wants to affirm to Jacob, listen, my presence is with you. I'm right here, and I know what you did, and I'm still right here. I'm right here. May God help us to trust the fact that he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If we can solidify our faith, if we can trust him in the fact that he has said, no matter what you do, I'm right here. You know, it's not necessarily true for this time. These guys do not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. There are those that maybe the Lord left and came back, things of that nature, but not for the church. That's one of the blessings of the time we live in. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we need to understand the presence of God. Sometimes I struggle, like 9:15. I understand the head knowledge that God is here in the room. It's hard for me though. I don't know if you struggle with that. To really comprehend with our mind, I say, Lord, teach me. You're in the room with us today. Can we really start to grasp that stuff? It changes our way of thinking. And I don't know about you, but sometimes a lot of other things going on in my head. He does not leave us. Even when we think we're alone. Jacob is in no man's land, laying on a rock. He thinks he's alone. He's not. He's not. Loneliness is a horrible thing. When you think that you're the only one, you're the only one that's going through something, you're the only one, no one cares. It's not true. He's with you. He's right there. Those of us who have put our faith and trust in the Lord, He's with us. He will not leave us. The second part there is He promises to protect us. Look what He says. I will keep you wherever you go. I will keep you wherever you go. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, I believe it is. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence. He will keep your foot from being caught. It's the same word. He'll protect you from being caught in the snare. Remember you were a little kid and you had the little shoebox with the stick and you wanted the birds to come underneath? And then you pull the stick and you catch one? I came so close once, and then my dog, as the bird actually came in, my dog started licking me, jumped on me, and I missed the bird. I was so upset. I was so upset. But you know, we need to be a people that realize that there are snares out there for us to get entrapped in, and God is saying, listen, I will protect you from the snare when you're following me. I'll protect you. I'll keep you. This is pretty applicable to Jacob's life. Why? He's got a death sentence on his head. I don't know about you, me and my brother might have argued sometimes, but he never wanted to kill me. It kind of makes, you know, for a messy Christmas get-together. He's sitting here with a legitimate person wanting his life. And God says, not only am I here with you, I will protect you. I will protect you. Nothing's going to happen to you. Wow, okay. Okay. All right. We as believers should not fear the world. I know we do. I do. But we shouldn't fear the world. He protects us. And I'm not saying bad things don't happen. Many horrible things happen to believers. The persecuted church. But what I'm saying is no one except ourselves can steal our joy. No one. When we keep our eyes on Him, no one steals our joy except us, guys. The Lord protects us. You know what else He protects? Our salvation. Our salvation. There is no height nor depth, nor any being, any nonsense, Satan and all of his garbage cannot stop us from going to heaven. I can't mess it up. Do we get that? Because the older I get, the more I go, man, are you sure, Lord? Because I saw what I did this week. I'm still going, right? Protection. We have an eternal security. We cannot lose our salvation for any means. We are protected and it's held by Him. It's held by Him. I will be with you and I will protect you, Jacob. I made a promise to you that through you, a nation will be born. It doesn't matter what comes at you. I'm here. I'm here. And the whole time, I think as Jacob is hearing this, he's going, but wait a minute. I don't think I earned this necessarily. I don't think I really earned this. This whole idea of presence of the Lord and protection is named numerous times in the Old Testament when it comes to like a rite of passage. Let's look at the end of Moses. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. This is when Moses is speaking to the people. He's about to die. Moses, verse 7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with these people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. If you turn to Joshua chapter 1, Moses is now telling the people, look, Israel, I'm your leader, yes. But just because I'm dying does not mean God's leaving you. Be strong. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, the Lord Himself is speaking to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Please. First Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 20, David is talking to Solomon. He's about to take over. David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of your Lord. To me, this is where God is telling Jacob, listen, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, but I'm also the God of Jacob. It's time for you, Jacob, to understand your role. And I think it's hard for sometimes us who have always grown up in the faith to have that point where we say, wait a minute, the faith of our fathers has to now be my faith. I have to make this personal, guaranteeing and knowing that the promises that God has given to the ones that have gone on before us are the same promises for me. There's no reason why everyone in the room cannot aspire and be a mature believer. There's no reason in the room that any of us can understand and get into the depth of love that He has for us, to slowly start to put off our sin, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. It's not reserved for the mature ones. It's not. It's our faith. The same God. Every time there seems to be a rite of passage in the Bible, God comes right in and says, listen, I'm not going to leave you either. I was with them, I'm going to be with you. I protected them, I'm going to protect you. I'm right here. But so many times we put our faith in men. Israel's messed up because they're saying, Moses is dying. What's going to happen? Does Joshua sit there and go, man, Moses, you've been leading so long. Will the people accept my leadership? Solomon, look, my dad, David, he was the best king ever. Now I got to fill those shoes? There's always the idea of, I'm not like them. Praise the Lord, you're not. The Lord has a specific plan for you. And He has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will protect you. I will protect you. But you know what? Sometimes we don't understand that until He gets us alone and in need. I don't think he wants to do it that way, but it's our human nature. We do not understand his presence nor protection until we're all alone with the need. We don't. I remember the other day, or not the other day, probably years ago now. You know, I'm not the best at heights. So me and my brother owned a two-family together. We were on the rooftop, and the roof was probably like 8 feet tall. That's about it. It was like a garage roof, but we only had a 6-foot ladder. So when I was coming off the roof, I had to trust my brother to hold the ladder. Now, if you know my brother, there's a lot of reason I shouldn't trust him. But I had to trust him. And I remember just fooling around, being like, hey, got the ladder, right? He's like, yeah, relax. I'm like, no. I'm serious. You have the ladder, right? I don't want to fall. Yeah, James, just get down. John, I'm telling you, because I can't see him at that time. Everyone get that? I'm on the roof on my belly swinging my legs over and all I feel is dangling air. And I have no idea whether he's moved the ladder or not. But there always comes that step of faith where you just come down off the roof and the ladder's there. And that's how it is in our lives. That the Lord has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised he'll protect us. But sometimes we don't get that until we're all alone in need. And sometimes I pray to the Lord, listen, Lord, teach me the lesson now so I don't have to go through that stuff. I'll learn it with people around. But usually we don't, guys. Usually we don't. Jacob is all by himself going, oh man, and you know what he says? I didn't know God was here. What a sad statement. But yet, believe me, I would have said the same thing. I didn't even know God was here. I know he's the omnipresent God, but I didn't know he was here personally for me. You see what I'm saying? And there's a lot of us still, I feel, that know that God is here, but we don't ever personalize it that he's here for me. For me. Not for Kenilworth. Not for Christianity as a whole. He's there for you individually. Individually. And we need to take him at his word that he's there. He's there. The next thing he does is God's placement. See what he says? He says, I will bring you back to the land. I'm going to put you right back in the land. Why is that important? Because that's the promise he said. He said, I'm going to give you this land, and that's where I'm going to make a nation. How can Jacob do it if he's not there? How can God do it if Jacob's not there? He's going to bring him back to the place where he can fulfill what God has given him to do. Be fruitful, multiply, and start a nation. You see, when we grow and we see our need for his presence, and we see our need for him to protect, and even though sometimes it's a lonely thing, the next thing he's going to do is say, great, I'm going to bring you back to the place where you can serve me. Where you can serve me. We need to be a people that understand that as we mature, service should always come out more and more. Because he's blessed us with spiritual gifts. He's blessed us with spiritual blessings. Not that we would just sit there and say, thanks for the gift, but that we would use it for him and his kingdom. And so God is always restoring us and saying, listen, I'm here. I'm personal, but let me tell you why I'm telling you that I'm the God of James Clifford, so that you can come serve me. You were created with a purpose and a ministry. I love in 1 Timothy where it says, take heed to your ministry. And I'm amazed at how many believers sit, and we've heard this sometimes, they have no idea what their ministry is. No idea. God has given every single person here in this fellowship a reason to serve, and he's giving you something to do. The problem is we love to compare. And we love to say, well, that's not a good one. That's not a big one. That's not a little one. I don't know what we do. But all that stuff that goes on in our head should be put out for a second and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do here? God is saying, Jacob, listen, I'm going to get you back to the land because that's where I need you. That's where the promise was made. And sometimes we can drift off and go be by ourselves and all that craziness, but he's going to bring us back to where we need to be so we can serve him. What's your ministry? What's your ministry? There's so much need in this many people here. There's so much need. So much. We are a people that need people. We need a lot of help. We need to edify one another and build one another up. You commit to just praying for people, and you commit to being there for 3-4 people in your fellowship, your schedule's full. It's full. Serve the Lord. He's constantly bringing us back to where we need to serve him. Finally, the promise of God. Where he says, I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. If I was Jacob, it would kind of look like this. Lord, I know that you'll never leave me. I know that you'll protect me. I know you will place me in a place where I need to serve you. Thank you so much for doing the work. But there's one problem, Lord. It's me. I always mess up. I know that you'll always be there. I know that you'll always protect. I know that you'll place me where I need to be. But Lord, I'm the X factor. It's me. I always mess up. And yet the Lord is sitting here saying, I will not leave until the job is done. What great confidence we have in our Savior. Listen, one of the things that gets me through all this stuff is the fact that no matter what happens down here on earth, one day my sanctification is complete. That right now, I am positionally completely righteous. I am completely perfect and holy in His sight. But I also know my daily living and what that looks like. And one day, regardless of what James Clifford does, those two things match up. And I will never, ever sin again. Ever. He has promised He will not leave until the job is done. Praise the Lord. One day we will be in heaven, and regardless of how we tried to work it out down here on earth, we are completely sanctified. We are completely righteous. We are completely those that have a right to be in front of the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we are. We are those who have a promise. Philippians says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He will complete it. And it has nothing to do with us. Jacob, you're going to go back to the land. You're going to start the nation of Israel. It has nothing to do with you. I made a promise. I made a promise. I don't break my word. I don't break my word. No matter what you do, one day you're completely sanctified. What a glorious hope in us. Doesn't that take the burden off of I'm not good enough? I know we're not good enough. That's why he did all the work. That's why it says God's kindness leads us towards repentance. When we start to understand all that he is and all that he's done for us and how it's not about us at all, we start to get on board and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, I don't want to stop sinning just because I want to suddenly earn my way back to you. I don't want to stop sinning so I can look good to the people in church. I want to stop sinning because you're changing me. And if I'm already going to be changed, I might as well get along with the process. And I for sure don't like who I am because I always go to my sin nature. But you've promised me that one day, my new creature, the real me, will never sin again. Oh Lord, help me not to sin.
Help me not to sin. I want to be everything you wanted me to be. I want you to be proud of me. As a father's proud of his son. I don't want to just, I want to make you happy. I just want to make you happy, Lord.
There was a lady at Berea, Faith Roth, who we had a tough summer in the kitchen. So it was a little crazy. But I remember, like the last week at camp, we were all exhausted and tired. She felt bad for us or something, so she basically wanted to sing that verse to us. It was a song, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." At the time, I was probably like 16. I thought it was one of the weirdest things someone ever did. Sitting there, she's just singing a cappella in a kitchen to us. I'm going, okay, that's a little weird. But I tell you what, that memory sticks in my head. And every time I start to fall or every time I start to stumble, usually that memory pops in my head. And I remember being confident in this, being completely 100% convinced he'll be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. We can't lose, guys. Do we understand that? We can't lose. Can't lose. Can't lose. To summarize, you know, all of us have what we call a faith journey, right? Jacob then makes a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way, then I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. You know, it's not that good of a statement. It's really not. God is unconditional, saying, I will do this. Jacob is conditional. Okay, well, if you do it, then I'll do this. Jacob has a long journey ahead of us. And so, I will close with this, is that I think just one of the things that has caused me to worship and love Him and hopefully sin less is this idea that God is promising all these things to the present life of Jacob. Jacob's sitting there still deciding, all right, if this really happens, I'll do this. God the Father knows exactly what's going to happen in the future of his life. He knows all of his mess ups coming, and he still makes the promise. Listen, you need to worship the Lord for this reason. He deals with us in the present, knowing what we're going to do in the future. Have you ever thought about that? Ever had that week where you just completely rejected the Lord, you did your own thing, and then you look back and go, you know what, Lord, 3-4 weeks ago, you blessed me completely, and you knew 3 weeks later I was going to do this. Lord, why do you do that? Sometimes I get blessed right now and I get nervous, like, oh, Lord, you're blessing me. Don't tell me I'm going to mess up 6 months down the road, please. Don't do that. That's how He works. He deals with us in the present, knowing what we're going to do in the future. I have to serve a God like that. I have to. Because when we interact with each other, that's not how we do it. We come into our relationships here with the past, what that person has done, what we think they're going to do in the future, and that dictates how we act in the present. God deals with us right here in our present. If for some reason our heart is always say, Lord, let your will be done, He's completely happy with us, knowing what's going to happen a couple weeks down the road. Worship Him because He deals with us right now. He dealt with Jacob right where he was at. He knows what's coming, but He dealt with him right there. God's protection, God's presence, His placement, and His promise. Listen, please, and I'm doing it myself. We need to understand that our God is not the God of just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of us. He's the God of James Clifford. And there is no difference between His love for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and His love for me. And that's hard for me to map my mind around. Those guys are such spiritual giants. Lord, how can you love me just as much as you love them? I do. I do. It's just not the way we work as humans down here on earth. But that's how He deals with us.
So let us go forth from this place today, sin less, love Him more. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, thank You for remembering our frame. Lord, thank You for being so patient with us. Help us, Lord, just to get a little better, just a little less sin. Well, we'd love to not sin, period, but Lord, we know our hearts. And so just help us to continue to be conformed to the likeness of who You are. In Your name, amen.